Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
You know that little poem called Footprints in the Sand? The one that tells the story of a man who had a dream that he saw his life in terms of a walk with God along a beach. And there were two sets of footprints in the sand. One was his and the other was God's. And then he noticed that during the most challenging and difficult times of his life, there was just one set of footprints. So he asked God about it, and God tenderly tells him that those were the times that he was carried. You remember that one? You know, the first time you read it, you thought, aha, that's sweet. The second time, it's just okay. But the third or fourth time, quite honestly, you're ready to gag because it's just over the top. It just gets old. Well, somebody finally freshened it up, and I've got it for you. See if you like it. One night, I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were nowhere along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they're just too big for feet. Well, my child, he said in somber tones, for miles I've carried you along. I've challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed and you would not grow the walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired. I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life, there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. Now, what if that version is closer to truth than the original? And if it is, how can we position ourselves before God so that we can become swept up into the great redemptive drama that God is enacting on the stage of this planet? Well, today, we bring our devoted series to an end. And I've known from the very beginning of my thinking of through this series through and praying this series through that I wanted to end with a look at a single life that has stirred me personally for years. A life that was living on purpose, not to be self-fulfilled, not to be self-satisfied, but to make history. And ultimately, that's what everything we've been talking about in this series is about. How to make history with our one and only life that God willed into existence, that God made so uniquely and called us, gave us gifts and passions, a personality, a set of life experiences. God laid out a sense of mission through our vocation and the life and power of the church and has made known God's will as we've gone through life. It was all to take part in the great movement set in motion through Christ. God's ultimate design for life, yours and mine, is to seek God's kingdom, to devote ourselves to what God wants, to what God cares about, what matters to the heart of God, to find out what God is doing and then willingly join with it. What God is doing is so clear that in the Bible it's called the Great Commission. But with the Great Commission comes a cultural commission to work towards the kingdom, taking hold on planet in governments and institutions and judicial systems and in the media. Over the course of my years of following Jesus, I've had the opportunity to watch this happen, starting with the end of apartheid in South Africa that came about because people worked for God's kingdom. I remember watching the fall of the Berlin Wall, and I remember seeing how new churches in Russia and the front rows were filled with women wearing scarves, singing with a passion and an intensity that was captivating. And I remember when the pastor shared to an interpreter who these women were. He answered, "Those are the women who prayed and then lived communism out of Russia." I've stood next to people who rescued trafficked children from the brothels in the Philippines and those who were attempting to save AIDS orphans in Africa. The kingdom is meant to come. That's what we pray for. In the ancient world, The influence of Christians brought a stop to infanticide and ended slavery and liberated women and created hospitals and orphanages and schools. Fast forward to the medieval era, where Christianity kept the classic culture alive through the copying of manuscripts and building libraries and the inventions of colleges and university. Fast forward to the modern era. Christians led in the way of the development of science, political and economic freedom, and provided what is arguably the greatest source of inspiration for art, literature, and music. What will those who follow Christ do in our day? The danger is that they'll do nothing. No footprints, just butt prints. So how is that prevented? Only through something that no one can give you or do for you. It's something only you can bring to bear on and in your life. And that is a commitment, the resolve to make history. To put a handle on what that looks like, I want to take a look at what has been one of the most stirring events in all of the recorded history of the Bible. It revolves around a young woman by the name of Esther. Esther was a Jewish woman living in Persia, a descendant of those who had been carried away in exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. She was also an orphan, born of Esther's, both of Esther's parents died when she was only a child. She ended up being raised by her older cousin, Mordecai, a very good and godly man. He loved and cared for Esther and raised her as he would his own daughter. She grew to be a beautiful woman, both inside and out. She was so physically beautiful, in fact, that when the king of Persia searched the land for a wife, no one was found to be more fair or desirable than Esther. Whatever beauty contest they ran to find a queen, she won it. So she was selected to be the queen, though no one in the king's palace suspected that she was a Jew, for Mordecai had warned her to keep it a secret. Then an evil man named Haman appeared on the scene, gaining the king's confidence. He had such a high position in the government that the king had commanded all of the royal officials to bow down to Haman wherever he traveled. And everyone did, except for one man, Mordecai. Mordecai would bow down only to God. And this infuriated Haman and insulted his pride, which led him to devise a plot to not only kill Mordecai, but to wipe out the entire Jewish race. Once he had the king worked up, he convinced him to sign an edict which would reward anyone who killed a Jew with large amounts of money. Haman knew that if people would be financially rewarded for killing a Jewish person, and if the king would sign off on it so that they wouldn't get any political or social trouble, it wouldn't be long before all the Jews would be hunted down and killed in their entirety. Well, now with all of that in mind, let's see what happened next and begin to discover what Esther's life has to teach us about making a difference with our own life. Let me begin by reading her story. And it's in the book of Esther in the Bible, named after her, and this is chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and the order of the king had come, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Well, when Esther's maids and eunuchs came, they told her about Mordecai. She was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs, assigned to attend to her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hatak went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told them to urge her to go to the king's presence, to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Well, let me just stop there, because we already have our first key to making history, and that's opportunity. Esther suddenly found herself not only in a unique position of influence as queen, but with a unique situation that allowed her to make a difference. And Mordecai basically said, rise to this, seize this opportunity. And she's not alone. In your life, you will have countless opportunities presented to you by God to do something significant in this world with your life. At various points and times, God will interject moments into the ebb and flow of your life to do something special, something life-changing, something game-changing, moments in time that are divine in nature, supernatural in potential, and eternal in significance. The Bible even has a word for them. They're called kairos moments. This is the idea that is often lost in our world today, but it's keenly felt in ages past. The ancient Greek language had two principal words for time. One was chronos, where we get our word chronological, and that would refer to calendar time, days, weeks, months, years. But then they had a second word for time, kairos, a word that meant something radically different, something deeper. We don't even have an English equivalent for it. Kairos has to do with the quality of time. It's a moment pregnant with eternal significance and possibility. It's a moment when we are confronted with a choice or a decision or a potential action that holds the deepest level of significance for who we are becoming, and what our life impact will be. In many ways, your entire life on this planet is a great big kairos moment. The question is whether you see the opportunities that God brings your way to make a difference. Because most people don't. They don't live life thinking this way. Well, the kairos moment for Esther was clear. She was asked to use her influence and position to respond to the potential annihilation of the Jewish people. Now, you would think that whenever God presents an opportunity to do something significant like that, the answer would automatically be yes. I mean, no questions asked, right? But it doesn't always work that way, does it? And there's a reason. It's because with every opportunity comes something else, a price tag. First comes the opportunity, but then it will always be followed by a cost. And it was no different with Esther. Let me read what happened next. Hattach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king, they fall under one law, and that will be they'll be put to death. The only exception is for the king to extend the golden scepter that he has to spare the life. But 30 days, she said, has passed since I was called to go to the king. Did you catch that last line? Do you realize he has not called on me for a month and I'm his wife? Do you hear how Esther is thinking? She's saying, I see the problem. I see the need. I see the opportunity. But there's a staggeringly high cost for me if I get involved. I could lose my throne. And that means title and privileges, money, prestige, and perks that will go with it. But that's not even the half of it. I could lose my life. In fact, chances are I will. And this is the second stage of the journey to making history. First, there is the opportunity. The second, we face the cost of acting on it. Just about everyone who has made a decision to give themselves over to God in such a way that they've made a difference in the world can tell you of a moment where they came face to face with the cost involved with that decision. And at that moment, everything was on the line. But if there was no significance apart, what if there was no significance apart from sacrifice? In an old book simply entitled Borden of Yale, it's the biography of a man named William Borden. He was the heir to the Borden Dairy Estate. He was already a millionaire by the time of his high school graduation. And as a graduation gift, Borden was sent on a trip around the world. As he traveled through Asia and the Middle East and Europe, he experienced the growing concern for the hurting and the lost of the world. He wrote home to say, "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." And after making this decision, he wrote two words in the back of his Bible, "No reserves." From there, he went on to Yale University, but with a purpose and determination. During his first semester, he began a movement among the students to meet and read the Bible and then pray. And by the end of the first year, 150 fellow freshmen were meeting weekly in these Bible studies. By the time he was a senior, 1,000 out of the then 1,300 students were joining together in these groups. Well, after graduation, he was offered numerous high-paying jobs. All were declined in order to pursue his life calling. At this point, he wrote down two more words in the back of his Bible, "No retreats." Borden next went to graduate school at Princeton, where he was ordained in ministry. And after he finished his studies, he set sail for China through the China Inland Mission, stopping first in Egypt to study Arabic. While in Egypt, he contracted cerebral spinal meningitis. In less than a month, William Borden was dead. He was 26 years old. But before his death, knowing that the steps of his life would take him no further, he had written two more words in his Bible beneath "no reserves, no retreats." He wrote the words, "No regrets." How does a story like that hit you? Do you think of his life as a waste? Do you think of it as a tragedy, like somehow God let him down? Let me plant a thought for you to wrestle with. I think that in eternity's eyes, his life was one of the most significant, consequential lives ever lived. It's a critical life lesson that he leaves us, that if we lead a safe life, you will never lead a significant life. So here you have Esther, given an opportunity, a kairos moment by God, but wrestling with that reality of that sacrifice that would be involved. So what happened next? Well, the third great thing that is always present to make it to a maker of history is a direct challenge. God will insert a direct challenge following the opportunity and the cost analysis. Let me read what happened next. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back the answer, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you are alone of all the Jews who will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but what that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." Mordecai didn't mince words, did he? This was big-time stuff. The stakes were high. History was going to be made one way or the other. It needed to be made. So Mordecai got right in her face and laid it out. He said, "This is your moment. Are you going to do something significant with your life or not? If you don't, God will search the land and find someone else who will. But right now, get this down. That person is you." Do you see the challenge God brings to a life? I had a defining moment like this when I was 38 years old. I was married, had two children, a great job. I was at Weirdwood Christian Park, and I asked for prayer, basically for wisdom and discernment for the future. And as I look back at that moment and what resulted because of it, I go back to a moment in a weekend much earlier. I had gone to see a movie that had been just released. It was the second installment of the original Star Wars trilogy, you know, The Emperor Strikes Back. And it, as you know all too well, the entire series is about the cosmic battle between good and evil. And with the first trilogy focusing on this young farm boy named Luke, who gets swept up into this galactic rebellion against the Empire. Now, this may sound very silly to you, but seeing that movie long, long ago in a city far, far away was very defining. It was a defining moment for me. It was a kairos moment. I walked out of that theater struck to the depth of my soul. I remember thinking, that's what I want out of life. to get caught up in the sweep of history, to make a difference, to be at the heart of a struggle between right and wrong, good and evil. Little did I know that it would be 10 years later after watching that movie at Redwood Christian Park that it would happen when I asked God for the future. And that's what God's invitation is all about. I put myself into a mission mode, and it changed everything. So how did Esther respond? Did she hear it or blow it off? Was she temporarily stirred or deeply transformed? Let's find out. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or nights or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I can seldom read those words without getting a chill. When an opportunity comes from God comes and the cost is counted, the challenge heard, and then accepted, you leave a mark for all of heaven to see. You make history. Esther did. We're still talking about this today because of her. Let me tell you how it played out for Esther. When she went to the king, trembling, afraid, fully expected to lose her life, she found out that not only did the king not kill her, but when he found out what was going on, he killed Haman. And then he took Mordecai and elevated him to a place of honor in Haman's place. And as a result, the Jewish people were saved, a people who would one day produce the man named Jesus, who would be the savior of the world. Not a bad day's work, right? So reflect. Is there something right now where God has put an opportunity in front of you? Or maybe you know that he has, but you're in the stage of counting the cost. You know the opportunity, but you're overwhelmed with the sacrifice that would be involved. And you're going back and forth and back and forth. What challenge is God bringing you? How are you going to respond? Let me be Mordecai for a moment. You can become an agent, an instrument of God's great plan. All God wants to know is if you're going to see the opportunity before you, which God will bring or may already have, and if you will count the cost of the sacrifice and then respond to the challenge, like Esther. Why? Because you were born for such a time as this. Will you join me in praying the prayer on the screen? It's from Sir Francis Drake. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture out on wider seas, when storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall see the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hope and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Amen. Let's go do it.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life, and we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.